Welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, keeping you up to date with all of the latest sporting action from Cork and further afield. But there is only one fixture on everyone's lips at the moment, and that is Cork versus Limerick at 4 in the Gaelic Grounds. Yes, unfortunately, Rebels, we have to go to Limerick. To preview the game, I was joined by Matthew Hurley of the Southern Star. We're delighted to be joined here by Matthew Hurley of the Southern Star here on the Big Red Bench. Matthew, how are you keeping anyway? And are you looking forward to a huge, huge clash in the Munster Hurling Championship in the Gaelic Grounds tomorrow?
Yeah, absolutely, Dan. Thanks for having me on again. Yeah, it's going to be quite an interesting clash tomorrow. I heard a few people say this could be the first of a trilogy, maybe a double bill of action between Cork and Limerick. It does have that kind of feel, especially with Clare being as good as out of Munster. Obviously, the mats there, they aren't officially out just yet, but they could be out more or less tomorrow. So I think Cork and Limerick will be the top two teams in the country coming into the championship later on down the week. So yeah, it should be a very interesting game, no doubt about it. And Limerick looking for their first competitive win over Cork since 2023. It's weird enough to say that, but I feel like there'll be a lot of fire in the Limerick lads tomorrow. It should be a very interesting game, no doubt about it.
I agree. There's part of me that kind of half wants them to get the win, because it's been a while now. The blood will be gone. We saw it in the park the last day. They were up for it with Seamus Flanagan and Niall O'Leary. Niall going around, I'd say, talking like Mickey Mouse since then. I'd say there'll be a few dirty challenges put in tomorrow. What way do you see the match ultimately going, Matthew? Where do you think the winning and losing of it is going to be?
Well, it's going to be very interesting. There's a lot of interesting dynamics to this. Like when I was doing a piece in the sort of Star previewing this game, it's very, very interesting to look at even the goal scoring of both. So I think Cork scored 24 goals this year across the league and championship. Limerick have only scored 5, and 3 of those were by Shane O'Brien. That's one forward that Cork need to watch tomorrow. He's had a brilliant shooting accuracy in the last 2 games in particular, against Tip and against Waterford, and he scored 3-15 from play for Limerick this season across league and championship. That's one fella to watch. Another thing for Limerick, I think their puck outs, especially with Nicky Quaid, has come back. There is question marks about Nicky Quaid, his fitness on the goal line. Is he good for saving shots and things like that? But for his puck outs, I think he's much better than the likes of Shane Dowling and Jason Gallant. So you could see why Limerick brought it back in. I think Limerick's retention rate in the puck out in the last 2 games have been about 70%, 60% in and around those numbers. Cork's was high against Tipperary. I think it was about 80%, but having said that, Limerick were down, or Tipperary, were down to 14 men because of the Darren McCarthy red card. So could you read too much into that? Maybe not. Again, should be a very interesting kind of interesting angle now tomorrow as well. And Limerick's shooting accuracies have been very, very good in games down through the years. And even Cork's against Limerick, look, I think it was very, very high the last 2 years. Even the game that Cork lost in 2023 against Limerick at the Gaelic Grounds, it was 77%. Cork still lost the game, but I think we're going to see a lot of good shooting tomorrow, a lot of good scores as well. And what is interesting as well, look at Cork, they tend to batter teams in the league and championship this season. Look at their scoring averages and things like that. Limerick have only, they've scored an average of 24 points, Limerick, and conceded an average of 23.625 points. So that kind of suggests to me, and the goal scoring, they're getting only 5 goals this year, has kind of suggested to me that Limerick haven't hit their peak level just yet. Hoping from a Cork point of view that it won't be tomorrow, but we'll have to see, obviously. But I think maybe the puckles from Limerick, I think stopping Shane O'Brien is a main thing. But then again, if you stop one fella, Shane O'Brien, maybe Aaron Gallant could step up, maybe Garrett Hagerty could step up. These are once in a lifetime very good players for Limerick. So it should be very interesting to see that kind of element, no doubt about it. So yeah, a lot of interesting aspects tomorrow, but I'd be more interested to see the goal scoring. How many goals would Cork get tomorrow? And it's interesting as well how many goals Limerick will get, because 5 goals for a Limerick team that was going for 5 in a row last year doesn't seem all too high, Dan.
I'd nearly agree with you. Do you think the pressure is really, I know it's not Cork to a certain degree, but it's really on Limerick. They're at home in the Gaelic Grounds. Cork are the team that have stopped the 5 in a row. I'm sure that's pinned up in the dressing room somewhere. They're going for the 7th in a row. They're going to want to put down this huge marker to show, all right, guys, we are the best team in the country. Do you think the pressure in this game is going to be on Limerick's shoulders?
I think there's more pressure on Limerick, to be honest with you, because of the fact they haven't beaten Cork in a competitive game since 2023, league and championship, that is. As well as that, they haven't hit their stride as of yet in the championship, and people are just waiting for them to turn up to their peak level. And thirdly of all, if Limerick lose this game, there is a scenario going into the Clare game that they have in the Gaelic Grounds the week after that it could be still all up in the air for them, because I think the scenario is if Waterford, I'm trying to think of it off the top of my head now, if Tipperary win against Waterford in the other game tomorrow and Cork beat Limerick, then if Clare beat Limerick in the Gaelic Grounds and Cork do their job beating Waterford in Parky Heave, then actually Clare would beat Limerick to the top three spot and Limerick would be out of the championship. So I just think in terms of taking the pressure off themselves, I think there's more pressure on Limerick to go on and win this game. For Cork, I think they might just have enough for Waterford in Parky Heave, so there isn't that much pressure on them. And the fact that they beat Limerick twice last year in the championship, which would stand to them, obviously drawing to them in the league as well, there is kind of a stigma with Limerick at the moment that they can't get over this Cork team, and they'd want to break that tomorrow, I think. So, all in all, I do agree with you, Dan. I think there is a lot more pressure on Limerick than there is on Cork. But then again, it will be interesting to see, is there an element of shadow boxing as well? Because as I mentioned at the start of the chat, we might have one of three games in the championship between these two sides, one of two. So will both sides give away their full deck of cards tomorrow? I'm not sure. Will be very interested to see, obviously. But yeah, to answer your question, I think Limerick will have a lot of pressure on them, more so than Cork will.
Well, I'd agree. If that trilogy does happen, I'd happily give them the first two anyway, Matthew, to be honest with you about it. But we're talking so much about Limerick now, I've nearly neglected to talk about my Rebels. Who's impressed you from this Cork side? I mean, Brian Hayes up in that forward line. Don't mind Hurler of the Month award. I mean, he's in Hurler of the Year contention at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. He's been an absolutely exceptional for him. I think across league and championship, he scored 7 goals and 12 points. Mentioned before, Limerick have only scored 5. Brian Hayes has scored more in 2025 than Limerick have combined, which is a serious stat in its own right. Declan Dodds is another big player to watch, in my opinion, for Cork, 420 as well. Delighted he kept his place after, obviously, Shane Barr coming back from suspension. That's a huge plus, coming back after his red card against Clare. Was delighted to see Decky keep his place in the team, because he definitely proved that he is first-team worthy for his performance against Tipperary. Darragh Fitzgibbon, 236 this year. Shane Barr, 215, coming back into the team, obviously, as well. Patrick Horgan, not too shabby, 251 as well. What was an interesting kind of element as well, Dan. Seamus Hartley performed well in the last few games for Cork, especially in the game against Tip. But he can't make the starting 15 because of Shane Barrett obviously coming back into the team. And that might be a positive for Cork coming off the bench. Because you look at Limerick's bench, you have Seamus Flanagan off it, obviously. I don't know, is Colin O'Neill going to be on the bench? But you have all these lads like Adam English and Shane O'Brien stepping out to the plate, being the youngsters in the Limerick team. But then you have the older guy, Darrell Donovan, another example for Limerick, on the bench. So I think Cork need these kind of bench impacts. I think Seamus Hartley is definitely one, and it will be interesting to see once he does come on tomorrow. I think he will come on. I think it'll be safe to say that, to see what impact he does make off the bench. So it should be very, very interesting. But as you mentioned there, Brian Hayes in very good form, and will be interesting to see on the Limerick side who picks up Brian Hayes. Will it be Mike Casey? Will it be Dan Morrissey? Will it potentially be Sean Finn? We'll have to see tomorrow. But as you mentioned before, Brian Hayes is in very, very good form at the moment.
I'm not sure any of them have the legs to particularly keep up with Brian, at least in the form he's in at the moment. But I'm sure there'll be a few tricks up their sleeve anyway, as there always is. Are we in a scenario now, do you think, Matthew, that Cork also have the stronger bench coming into tomorrow?
It's a quite interesting element there, because Seamus Harmony obviously is definitely one to come off the bench. Cork have threatened to have the better panel, if that makes sense, for a while though. But they haven't really proved it in the league. Obviously, look, in the first championship game against Clare, a lot of people were talking about who's going to come on for Cork, who's going to make a big impact off the bench. In the end, no one really made a big impact. I know Brian Roach, in fairness, and Brian Rover scored a point off the bench against Clare, but like nobody on the Cork team really stayed the claim coming off the bench. Like, you look at Cork's bench tomorrow, look at the forward options, or even the defensive options. Tommy O'Connell has done well in the last few games that they're coming on. Brian Roach, as I mentioned before. Dermot Healy, obviously, raw in terms of championship. It'll be interesting to see if he does step up to the plate once he does come on tomorrow. Robbie O'Flynn as well, Shane Kingston. Now, I think those three players in particular, three last listed on the bench for Cork, Seamus Hardy, Robbie O'Flynn, Shane Kingston. I think those three players are the key, because number one, now directs and forwards to come on the bench, come off the bench, should I say, and add that bit of firepower. Number two, their experience. They've been there, done that. I think those three lads are going to be very, very vital off the bench from a Cork point of view. Especially Hartley, it'd be interesting to see if he carries his form into this Limerick game once he comes off the bench tomorrow. Shane Kingston obviously saved us in the championship last year, obviously running down the heart of the Limerick defence and getting that free or that penalty for Hockey to convert to send the Black Rock into absolute pandemonium. Robbie O'Flynn, absolutely brilliant form at the moment as well. So I think those three players in particular have to show their worth if you are to argue Cork's bench is better than Limerick's. Limerick is still a strong bench, let's not forget that. So it will be interesting.
It's such a different scenario compared to last year when we were playing Limerick. But I guess the question I have for you, do you think we're going to be going all out to win this one and then take the risk against Waterford a small bit? Or are we taking the foot off the gas ever so slightly?
The thing is, I don't think Pat Ryan is that type of manager to leave the foot off the gas. I think he wants to go full throttle. He wants to make all of the championship qualification as straightforward as possible. So I think Cork will be going out to win this game. Will they want it more than Limerick? I'm not sure. I just think this Limerick team would probably want it in terms of getting the monkey off their back, in terms of getting a win over Cork, in terms of making progression safe. Because Clare going down to Ennis, or going down to the Gaelic grounds, obviously, isn't going to be an easy thing for Limerick, whereas Waterford going to Parky Keefe, I think, is easier for Cork, if that makes sense. So I think Limerick would be more hungrier. Do I think Cork will take their foot completely off the gas? No way. I think Pat Ryan will want to go on and win this game. I think this is a draw written all over it in many ways, Dan, in all honesty.
If you're a betting man.
Yeah, I'll probably go for a draw, to be honest with you. I just think it's probably the safest option. I know it might be sitting on the fence a small bit, but look, I do think Cork will be hungry. Limerick will be hungrier, but I think Cork might get a draw out of it and gain a qualification place even before the last game against Waterford.
All right, Matt, you really appreciate it, mate. Thanks so much.
No problem, then.
Huge thanks to Matthew Hurley of the Southern Star for talking to me once again. Now over to Joe McCarthy and the Cork boss, Pat Ryan, out of a huge, huge fixture.
Okay, on Sunday, May 18th, round 4 of the 2025 Munster J Senior Hurling Championship, it's Limerick versus Cork at the TUS Gaelic Grounds in Limerick with a 4 o'clock throw-in. We're delighted to be joined on the line by the Cork Senior Hurling Manager, Pat Ryan. Pat, how are you?
Very good, sir.
It's a big week in sport. It's a big week in Cork hurling. This time last year, Pat, Cork had no points at this stage and the pressure was really on. This year, you've got 3 points in the bag. So I would imagine, are you dealing more now with expectation rather than pressure, or is it just the same?
I suppose, any time that you're going up to say a team as good as Limerick, there's always pressure. We view pressure as a privilege, and you know what I mean? Look, when you put on that Cork jersey, there's a pressure and an expectation to perform. And that's the way we're looking at it. And look, this fantastic. You know, we know we're facing an unbelievable side. So that's a great challenge for us and something that the lads are looking forward to.
Have preparations been any different with the time coming into it, Pat, because it's Limerick, or has it just been business as usual for you?
Look in the first two games. Look, you're obviously looking at Clare and Tipperary. That's what your focus is. And you know, that's what you're trying to get to. And then look, the minute that changes, your focus comes back to, first of all, Limerick and then to Waterford, look, because there's a small turnaround to that. So, look, you do a small bit in Waterford as well in those 3 weeks. And then, look, your last kind of 2 weeks, especially, would you be concentrating back onto Limerick? And look, I think this wasn't fairness. Look at what they've won down through the years, Limerick. They're, even though that they're probably, it's not that they're an easy study, but, you know all their players, you know what they're going to bring to a large extent, but look, knowing what they'll bring and being able to counteract it is something that hasn't happened too often in the last couple of years. You know,
every single game in the Munster Championship, as you've consistently said, Pat, since you took the job, is a hard game to win. But this one, because of what happened last year between the two counties, feels like a real heavyweight challenge. Do you accept that it does have that bit more of a build to it than the other ones?
I'm not too sure, really. I suppose, look, we were playing the All-Ireland champions in the first game, and, you know, obviously when you draw that, look, and then you need to win your next game, then, you know, at home, and like, of all things, and it's clear that you have to win your home games. But look, at the end of the day, look, Limerick, since 2018, they're the acid test of any team in the country, you know. So, look, any time that you play them, you always have to be at your best, and you have to prepare diligently and prepare as well as you can to be able to come anywhere near them. And look, we feel that we've prepared well enough. The break has been good for us. It's up to 3 weeks. Give us lads a bit of a chance to recover from. Because look, once the championship, lots of fellas pick up little knocks. And, you know, I don't think anybody in any of the counties, you could say that they're actually 100% at the moment. Everybody's carrying some small little thing, you know. So, look, it was a great 3 weeks for us to get prepared. And look, really looking forward to the challenge. You know, look, obviously the weather looks like it's going to be great. So it'll be a great day for our fans, great day for the Limerick fans. And let two really good teams go at it.
In terms of the players, Pat, you mentioned there, like, April 27th was the last time you played competitively against Tipperary in Super Valley Park, Equive. From the management team's perspective, have you been having to rein the lads in? Are they chomping at the bit, or have they just been able to build slowly towards this?
Look, you give a bit of a downtime after that week. Look, obviously, because we had the league final as well. You know, you've been in nearly three games in 4 weeks, really. So look, fellas needed a bit of a break, and then look, you just plan your training as you go. We had a very good AVB match there last Friday week in St. Parky Keys. So that fellas back going again, and, you know, gives fellas an opportunity to get back on the panel, get back on the 15, and get back on the 26. So look, all systems go for Sunday.
Yeah, and on that team that will start on Sunday at the TUS Gaelic Grounds, Declan Dalton is in on the wing alongside Shane Barrett. When you look down through the substitute bench, Pat, like, you've got the likes of Seamus Harnley, Robbie O'Flynn, Shane Kingston, Luke Mead. Was this one of the most difficult teams to pick, or did you have it in your head leading into it that if X and Y were fit and going well, that that's the way you'd go? Or have you been swayed by what you've seen so far?
Look, there's a bit of both. Look, obviously, fellas that have been going well, kind of, you know, you're not going to move away from them. Fellas that have been playing well and have been doing well for you, so you're not going to go away from them. But look, in fairness, I think the 26 now was getting really, really competitive. The team kind of picks itself to a degree at times when you have fellas performing well. But look, our 26 is very hard to get onto. Lots of fellas going well, you know. And, you know, look, obviously, Micheál Mullins is a lad that didn't make the 26. Jack O'Connor, you know, William Buckley, Jack Callahan, they're all really there. Flynn, they're all fellas that are hurling really well for us at the moment. And look, it's harder on them than anyone that doesn't get to tug on Sunday, you know, because that's, look, I don't really have much sympathy for fellas who are kind of on the 26 at all. You know, that's great, but there's the fellas who don't get the privilege of putting on that Cork jersey on Sunday. They're the fellas that you feel small, but sorry for, you know.
You've scored 651 so far, which is is excellent going, but I suppose more importantly for you and your selectors, it's the spread of scores that you've got this year, Pat. Did that make it even more difficult to settle on the starting six, or are you looking then at guys who can, like, finishers who might come on in the second half and, you know, timing it right in terms of forwards and getting into scores late in the game?
Yeah, exactly. Look, but at the same time, look, it's an expectation on lads, whether, you know, I suppose we're trying to go away from a fella who's kind of maybe, you know, oh, he's, you know, this fella isn't great off the bench, or this fella, like, everybody has to be able to play the role, everybody has to be comfortable, whether they're starting or whether coming off the bench. And look, what we're looking for fellas is, you know, we're not really looking for scores coming off the bench, which, look, obviously, ultimately, you know, that's something you would like, but realistically, you're looking for fellas that can bring energy, you know, that can bring work rate to it, and, you know, if they can bring those things coming off the bench, then normally that will lead to a couple of scores coming as well, you know. So it's those energy givers when we kind of, when maybe we're flagging in the last 15, 20 minutes, that you need fellas to come on and really, really go after the game, you know, for us.
And look, Pat, whether you like it or not, we can't get away from the fact that the last two competitive meetings were such fantastic games. There was nothing in either of them, but Cork came out on the right side of the result. This is a Limerick team on their home patch. You know you were going to get the best of Limerick anyway in the Munster Championship, but they have that extra motivation. Have you talked about that, or has it come into your thinking at all with the players, or do you just go and do what Cork need to do?
Yeah, I suppose, to be honest, I don't think Limerick are thinking one bit about what happened last year. I don't think they're a team that need any extra motivation. They're a team built off their own standards, and that's what every other team is getting, is trying to get to. As they get to the standards where you just perform every day, and that's what they've got to down through the years. So, look, we know it's going to be a massive, massive challenge. You know what I mean? We were there in 2023, which was a massive challenge, and look, we're expecting more lads to perform.
And just finally, Pat, look, this is what you took the job on for, big days out like this. You've always extolled the virtue that this is a good, these are good days for Cork fans to enjoy. It's a sellout in Limerick, as you said, it's going to be a scorcher. Obviously you want to win, but being part of all of this, this is why, I would imagine, one of the reasons you took the job in the first place.
Yeah, it is, look, but I suppose, look, you know, realistically, I took the job to win matches, you know what I mean, and to try and make Cork as competitively as I could. And look, at the end of the day, look, we had probably a hollow victory in 2023 when they beat us by a point above Limerick, and, you know, that was a good stepping stone for us to give us confidence that we could compete with them. But, look, at the end of the day, we're only interested in, as I said all the time, accumulating enough points so that we can get out of Munster, and we've two more on offer now on Sunday. And it's up to us to try and get.
Indeed, on Sunday, May 18th, round 4 of the 2025 Munster GAA Senior Hurling Championship, Limerick versus Cork at TUS Gaelic Grounds in Limerick, with a 4 o'clock throw-in from everybody here on the Big Red Bench. As ever, Pat Ryan, thank you so much for your time and the very best of luck to you.
Thanks very much, gentlemen.
Yeah, huge well wishes to Pat and everyone on that Cork team, but we're not done yet, as here's Tommy Rooney speaking to Brian Hayes.
It's great to be joined by the PwC GAA GPA Hurler of the Month for April, Brian Hayes. Brian, how are you?
All good, Tommy. How are you?
Good. Body good?
Yeah, all good, thank God. Yeah, looking forward to the weekend now.
How's life these days in the midst of the Munster round robin? Like, what's life like off the field, off the training pitch?
I suppose there's not much time off now at this stage, but yeah, the last couple of weeks, you know, since we played the two games, it's nice to be able to relax a bit. I suppose the weather's been good, just kind of chill out. It's been nice to go for a couple of swims and stuff like that with a few of the lads, just kind of relax as much as you can, but I suppose it's hard when you can't really socialise too much.
Are you based in the city?
Yeah, I'm close enough to in between Douglas and Toker there, so it's not too bad. I'm close enough to most things, and I'm working in the city, so being in about,
it's kind of hard to get away from it, like, as you said, you know, it's, you go for a couple of swims or whatever, you probably meet the lads, you're probably in your own bubble though all the time, are you?
Yeah, I suppose you'd be lucky enough that I'd be good friends with a good few of the Cork lads, and obviously you have your friends outside of it as well that you can meet, but as you said, you're in the bubble, it's kind of, it's where you want to be at the same time, do you know what I mean? It's kind of hard to stay out of it. So, yeah, it's good. It's good vibes.
What do you love about hurling?
I suppose the pace of it. The games, I suppose, especially in the Munster Championship, you know, they're so fast, and there's so much different moments in the match. You know, if something doesn't go right for you or the team, you know, you can change it in two seconds, you know, the next play. So you can take many different situations, like, within the game.
Yeah, it's probably the importance of being present there is probably really important, like, because, you know,
yeah, exactly,
the game could be going away from you, but it just takes a moment, a ball over the top.
Yeah, exactly, that's something we talk about the whole time, you know, you know, focusing on staying present. I suppose in hurling you kind of have to, because they're not, you'd be ate up straight away.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Just, I suppose, the ruthless nature of it. And look, that's something we talk about all the time when it comes to Munster, that, you know, everyone could take something off anyone, and you could have a 10-point lead or a 12-point lead at halftime, and it could be evaporated very quickly. Do you mind if I ask you about the first half in Ennis? Because...
Yeah, no problem.
You'd caught fire yourselves. You must have felt like you were on it that day.
Yeah, I suppose we thought we were going well. We were doing, kind of carrying on from our performance in the league final, and it was one of the things we targeted, and I think we kind of delivered on the day. We were kind of doing everything that we wanted to do.
You obviously had backed up that performance back in March. You got a couple of goals that day too, didn't you? Am I right with that, in the league?
Yeah, I suppose initially going up to Ennis in the league, we were kind of targeting the championship game and just kind of, you know, saying to ourselves, put in a good performance here and we can carry that through into the championship. And yeah, look, I think we did. I suppose at the end of the day we got a point, but like, a point on the road against the All-Ireland champions is not that bad.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny, the narrative going into games, like the All-Ireland champions at home were underdogs going into that one. And I suppose given the form lines and the work that ye had done since the start of 2025, that made a lot of sense. And there was nothing between ye last year. You know, the script could have been flipped as well, looking at it a different way. You kind of, I don't think it really mattered what ye did against Clare that day. Like the noise is going to be outside anyways, outside the camp. You've got to kind of manage it internally, yeah, what you're doing.
Yeah, I suppose we've been doing that and we've managed it well. I suppose going up there, it was kind of all about ourselves and getting our performance for ourselves after, you know, the disappointments of the All-Ireland, because, you know, the league is great and it's great to build on for championship, but like the championship games in the Munster is where you want to be playing and put your best performance forward. And I suppose we were building for that for a while. So it was nice to kind of get that block of two games to start the championship now and kind of get time to reset, reevaluate that, and kind of we can go again now for the next kind of block of two games.
Yeah, two big games ahead. It's the Gaelic Grounds, Sunday, 4 o'clock, Limerick. You know, it kind of seems silly asking you, like, you know, what are you expecting from Limerick this weekend?
I suppose be expecting everything that they've brought last year and the year before that. From my point of view, when I've been involved, you know, they're a hugely skillful, talented side, probably one of the best teams in the country. You know, they've been the main team in hurling for the last 5 or 6 years, and you know, they're still the best team around. So look, if we can go up there and give ourselves a good performance, hopefully we can come out on the right side of it, maybe.
Yeah, very best of luck on that. I might get in trouble with some of my hurling colleagues and off the ball for this, but I wanted to ask you a couple of football questions, because first time I remember covering one of your games was the 21 Munster Club Senior Final, Austin Stacks against Finbars. I think you kicked three points that day. It was in Semple, I think. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was in Semple. And I just remember looking out and going, right, this fella's a footballer. He's a baller. And obviously you played with Cork, right? So you played both growing up. I think, do you have two Hurling All-Ireland titles at under 21 level? And am I right in saying that you captained that Munster winning team in 20 against Kerry?
I was the captain the year we won the Munster down here in the park, but I was involved when we won the under 20 All-Ireland as well in football in 2019. So even though I was only 17, 18 at the time, it was the first year under 20 football team. Keith Rickon brought me in, so I was only on the bench, but it was great to be involved in that. It was great to be.
Many of the current Cork footballers as well. I know Shawnee McDonald was on that Munster winning side. Conor Corbett.
Yeah.
Loads of, like, and I can imagine from I hadn't actually double checked that team that won the All-Ireland, but there's loads from that as well that have backbone this Cork side at the minute.
Yeah, you know, like Colin McCallan there, Mark Cronin, Mark Shanley, Sean Meehan, Blake Murphy was there for a while. There's kind of been a nice kind of bounce off that under 20 winning side initially. And then, you know, 2 years later, there was Conor Corbett, Sean McDonald, Neil Arden was in and around there. So there's been a nice kind of bounce off them.
Your father won an All-Ireland with Cork in 1990. Obviously, Ger is your uncle, Ger Cunningham is your uncle as well. So like the stock was there, whether it be hurling or football. I asked you earlier what you loved about hurling. What did you or do you love about football?
I love the kickouts. That's probably my favourite part of it, just high ball. I suppose the kind of when I first came onto it, it was kind of all about long kickouts, and then they kind of went away from that. I suppose it was 2020, 21, 22. My last game with the Bears was the old rules down against Castlehaven, so I haven't played the new rules.
Well, Castlehaven never played the old rules, or they always played good front foot attacking football. I'm sure you were the same in the Bears.
I don't know about that now. The last time when we were playing them this year, they weren't playing the
15 behind the ball.
Football. Yeah,
or 14 no. and Brian left that top. Okay.
I think everyone kind of did that, but we kind of always kind of like to play attacking football. So I suppose we probably welcomed the rule changes with the Bears. And I think the likes of Stephen Sherlock and Killian Myers-Murray to kick the attempts like two-pointers.
For sure.
Kind of be shaping up nicely, hopefully now come the end of summer.
Yeah. You mentioned the kickouts there, and I suppose is that attacking a ball when it's in the air? Because obviously that can, you know, you can bring that back to hurling as well, and I'm sure that's something that you enjoy doing as well. Can you talk us through that as the Schlitter's in the air and the O'Neill's in the air? What's the difference between lining yourself up, maybe using the body, just trying to claim possession as it's hurtling towards you?
Yeah, I suppose in football it's a lot different. Like I think a lot of football midfielders would tell you, under the high ball, that they'd like to run into the ball, or, you know, kind of run and jump and kind of get up as high as you can. Whereas in football and hurling, it's a lot more of using your body and kind of hoping you can just, it's your man versus your man. Obviously, there might be someone else around, but the kind of the jumping up as high in hurling isn't really there. But I suppose if you can do it, you can do it.
Yeah. Can you compare and contrast them? Obviously, you've played the two of them at such a high level. The two sports.
Yeah, I suppose. In terms of the kickouts and puckouts, is it?
I just mean the game in general, because I think we've seen a bit of a renaissance in football after maybe 4 or 5 years there, where it got stodgy and, you know, short kickouts and the game had slowed down a lot. There was a lot of kind of lateral play. There's a lot of excitement in football now. I'm not comparing it to hurling. I don't think we have to do that.
No, but yeah.
Do you know the feeling in a game? Can you compare and contrast them?
I suppose like goals are kind of a big point now, like with the new rules watching on. Like obviously the 2 pointers take it out, but the momentum you get off a goal is massive. Like, you know, and in hurling it's the same. I think that's what people love watching. Like when a goal goes in, it's great to see players celebrating and the crowd getting involved and stuff like that. But in terms of playing and comparing them, I suppose it's hard enough. From a forward's point of view, you know, it's great to see the 1v1 battles. Like, you know, in hurling, that's kind of what people love watching as well, when there's a ball coming into the full forward line and it's just you versus your men. And I kind of think that that's coming back in football now as well. You know, I was down at the Cork and Kerry game, and, you know, on one side you had Dan O'Mahony up against Clifford, and then on the other side you have Chris Og Jones up against whoever he was making on the night.
Yeah,
you know, or Hurley or whatever. So it was just great to watch, but I kind of looking forward to now getting back football to kind of see how you can kind of bring that 1v1 element to it.
You've a couple of months of work ahead of you, though, before you can start thinking about club football again, Brian. There's big games ahead for you. It obviously starts with Limerick on Sunday. Just a last one on kind of, I suppose, the enjoyment at the minute, because you're in a great place in terms of Cork, in terms of your aspirations. I know you were so close to it last year, but, you know, you're on a journey as a group. In terms of playing with those lads and the group that you're with at the minute, what's the chemistry like? Because you're all moving in the same direction in a really good way.
Yeah, I suppose we're a really, really close group. We've had kind of, you know, over the last kind of 18 months, we've kind of gotten really, really close. We went through different things together, you know, with results going against us. And then, you know, there's kind of been a nice kind of a buzz around when we gotten a bit of a momentum going. But, you know, I suppose some of your best friends are involved in the camp, and that does kind of help. Look, it's like, you might, from the outside, it might look like, you know, that we mightn't be too friendly, but you know, everyone in the group is like, there's best friends in there for me anyway. So it's great to kind of go down and be training with them and playing match with them, and, you know, that kind of brings your bond together. And I suppose then in terms of like, everyone's just biting into the same thing, you know, we all want ourselves to be doing well. And I suppose we weren't really feeling sorry for ourselves when we were beaten last year. We were just kind of looking forward and hoping we could bring it on this year. Into the league and championship, and, you know, I think our performance have reflected that, and hopefully we can continue to do that.
Yeah, that's a powerful place to be in as a group and as individuals as well, working in that direction. Brian Hayes, congratulations on the PwC GAGPA Player of the Month for April. There are a couple of big months ahead of you, so best of luck this Sunday, and we'll catch you again soon and off the ball.
Nice one, thank you. Cheers, Danny.
Thanks, man. Fair play.
Red Bench, Cork's Good Times, Red FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour. Before we get back into things, the FA Cup winner is official, and a huge congrats to Crystal Palace, who have won their first ever major trophy, beating Man City 1-0 in Wembley. To a bit of rugby now, and there was plenty of action in Virgin Media Park last night, as Munster recorded a 30-21 point must-win victory over Benetton, and it was also great for our very own Peter Romani to get one last game in Cork. And here's head coach Ian Costello speaking to Sarah McKenzie Foley after the game.
That's what real pressure looks like. We put ourselves in that position where we had to win two games, so there's relief around getting that job done, but there's also relief around us putting performance out there like that, that probably reflects where the group is at, reflects how much it means to the group, reflects how well they've prepared, not just over the last couple of weeks. You know, it's been a tough few months, and to see the lads get the reward over the last couple of weeks is really pleasing. So, yeah, a lot of emotions. So relief mix with being really, really proud of the team, of the staff, of the club, and what the support have brought tonight. That was incredible.
Talk about the composure of the second half, because at half time, like, it wasn't going to plan, it was 14-10. You have seen the score lines elsewhere and what you needed, and came out then and in the third quarter put on 15 points.
Yeah, we knew we needed to win. We also knew a draw would be no good. You know, that 3 points wouldn't be enough, but I suppose you're trying to focus on the flow momentum in the game, and that's what really changed. There was positive on top of positive on top of positive moments that we wrestled back the momentum. Mike talked at half time about winning collisions and being a bit bigger to get back and punch onto the ball. That made a big difference. We probably turned them a little bit more. Again, that was one of the key conversations at half time. The strategy was to turn them, and that was actually working for us. And then we mixed up our short kicking game, and then our lineup was outstanding tonight. You know, when you need, you know, when you need to wrestle momentum back, I thought our forwards were outstanding, and Carter's has done an unbelievable job this week. You know, and they've been under a little bit of scrutiny, but it was fantastic tonight.
And just then the weight and I suppose pressure of Champions Cup qualification is off the back now. What can you do over the next few weeks?
Anything. I think, you know, today I watched an A game earlier, and the quality of that team, you saw the quality, maybe some guys I want you to pad out tonight, as well as the 23 around the field. We've got a healthy squad, a really competitive squad, and, you know, we've said it throughout the whole season, when we're close to full strength, we feel we can go toe-to-toe with any team, you know, whether it's at home or on the road, and that squad is deep and competitive at the moment. But we're going to enjoy a few days, I won't lie. We need to take a breather after this, we need to come down a bit after it, and then we've got, you know, 10 to 12 days to build up for a quarter final, wherever it might be.
How's Jack Curry?
He's good. Yeah, he injured his ribs, so it's a question of managing pain. What a warrior tonight. He was outstanding, and even when we were taking him off, he still wanted to stay on, I think. Yeah, credit to him, and then probably complimented by Craig Casey, who took over some of the kicking duties. And again, those two they're so important to see on and off the pitch. And I just thought from a character point of view, as well as quality point of view, to the rest.
They seem to have the kind of the energy in the first half. They had that momentum you talked about. So to rest that back, what do you think it took?
I suppose our measure of our energy is what we would call our bigs and bounds, which is, you know, how hard we're prepared to work back in attack, to punch onto the ball. And then bounce is probably not just the obvious stuff off the field, it's off the ground quickly, it's setting the line quickly. And I think it was such a physical first half. We knew it drained our tank a bit, but we know we can go deep, we know from training. And I thought we just carried that energy to them. Our body language was positive, our bigs and bounds were good. And you could just see the momentum, you could almost taste the change. You could just put positive moments on maybe back to back. Whereas in the first half, we probably had three negatives that led to a try in a corner. And it's probably as simple as that. And sometimes you can read deeper, but it's just putting a positive action on top of a positive action. And when lots of elements of your game are going well, it becomes much easier to do that.
Just talk about the impact you're getting from the two lads you brought in a couple weeks ago, Lee in particular tonight, maybe?
Yeah, I think both of them have been excellent. They've added to the depth of the squad at a time. You know, again, the club supported us bringing them in. And they've made a massive addition, and it's turned out to be really important for the last two games. And into the playoffs, please God.
Just on Jack's injury, when did he pick that up?
Not certain exactly. Okay. He picked up a few collisions tonight, so in one of those many ones, reasonably early though. And again, a massive testament to his character to stay on as long as he did.
Mm. How was it like for the lads, I suppose, on their final home game to just get that win? How was the post match like?
It means everything. With me, Hall Martin visiting us as well to congratulate the lads, which is a cool boost. Peter asked him to fix the road again. So he's not letting that one go. I think, I don't know how to sum this up properly, but when you get a balance of having such a deep purpose and so much care for each other, and then you go in the second half and you can execute with that quality as well. It's an incredible blend, and the performances the last couple of weeks were about showing how much we cared for each other, how much we show how much we cared for the lads leaving. And I don't think there's any sport that isn't important, but particularly in a game like rugby that's so physical, when you want to give every ounce of what you have to respect your teammate who's given everything for the club for so long, that's deep, and that deep connection, that deep purpose was huge for us in the last couple of weeks. And when you, as I said, when you balance that with you know, what you saw in the second half, it's a powerful blend.
Do you want to take any Virgos?
Could you look at the last 2 weeks as a package and say that 17,000 plus in Dome Park, 8,800 tonight, farewell to the three lads in Limerick and now in Cork, two vital wins and Kinder knockout games. It's been a really good positive fortnight for you, hasn't it? The whole organisation.
It has, and look, it had to be, didn't it, Jerry? Like, we know what it means to be in the Champions Cup, we know what it means to be in the playoffs. We don't talk about openly about what the ramifications are, but we know what they are, you know, in terms of for the club going forward. But what we tried to do again was really bring it back to what the elements of that were important for the performance, and that's what I loved about the last 2 weeks, how close, tight, connected the group were. But also, if I can stretch back a bit further than that, it's been like that for months. You know, we've had a tough season, we've had so much change, but for everyone to say it's so tight and connected, I'm not just saying, I'm so aligned, pulled together, it's just great to see the lads get the reward on the back end of that. Very pleasing.
It looks like it might be the Bulls or Glasgow, the way you're looking at it.
I'm not sure. We probably came into it thinking it would be the Sharks, so I haven't seen the end result. It's probably one of those things. I don't mean, don't misquote me in this, but you know, just, I don't care. We need it to be in there, so of course I care, and I wake up in the morning, we'll watch the TV, but right now we had to make sure we're in the playoffs. We had to make sure one game at a time we were in the Champions Cup, and we've done that, and I think we'll enjoy that for a day or two, and then wherever we go we'll start planning what that looks like. And I think we might take a couple of days early next week, and then we'll have a 10-12 day run into a quarter final. I think we'll wake up tomorrow in the morning delighted to be in a quarter final.
Those days off are important, really, aren't they, just to decompress after this fortnight that you just spoken about, and to go again.
Yeah, it is. You look back over our last couple of months, there's been roller coasters of emotion, and you know, you've got mental and physical energy, but I think the one that takes the biggest toll is emotional energy when you have to go to the well. It's easier to go to the well when you've got depth in your squad and there's real genuine competition in places, and training is competitive. So we'll take a couple of days to decompress, probably reset, and then all the focus, probably, which is nice, 10 to 12 days to look forward to a quarter final, whereas we've been rolling week on week for the last while. Yeah.
In your side, it's just Niall's HIA and Jack's ribs, is that all you got?
Yes. Yeah. So
back 23, then, but that's great. The consistent selection is really important as well.
And it took a long time to reach the same 23 in our selection conversations, because there were so many considerations. And so weirdly, two long selection meetings to write back at the same 23 was really interesting. But it's so hard to pick our team at the moment, it's so hard to pick our squad at the moment, and that's what we need, that's what we want. You know, so many young players coming through that I watched in CBC earlier today that are going to push these guys on, and that's what we need. We need that depth, we need that quality in every position.
The belief, is this where 2 years ago kicks in for you, that these players have all been through this before and they've experienced what they can achieve? There's nothing to fear here now.
Yeah, there's some landmarks there, there's some milestones there that we can go back to. You know, we've played knockout rugby now. We've played 2 weeks of knockout rugby, so we go into the third week. We'd love if it was 5 weeks, but that's what the last 2 weeks have felt like. We lose one and we're out. So hopefully that sets us up. It's always going to be very, very difficult to go to South Africa, but we've done that before as well. And we'll draw on that belief, and we'll draw on a lot of things over the last couple of weeks as well.
That was Ian Costello there, the Munster head coach. We have audio from Tyke Byrne, unfortunately won't get the time to play it, so listen to tomorrow's Bigger Bench, and I'm sure Sarah McKenzie Foley will play that one. But our very own Rory O'Hagan did meet new Cork City boss Jernash earlier, and this is what they had to say.
Jer, first off, congratulations on taking the job. I'd imagine it's been a whirlwind few days for you. Thank you very much. It has. It's been a few playing journeys to get here. But look, I'm delighted. It's a huge honour to come to this club and the fine tradition and the brilliant fan base. So it's a huge honour and I'm really looking forward to it.
So when you got the call last week, what was your initial reaction?
I was delighted to accept the position. Just honoured, as I said, and. It took a little bit of getting here, but just couldn't wait to get started and get here as soon as I could, and I managed to arrive just in time for the game last night.
Your name was in the mix when Tim Clancy got the job initially. How far down the process was that, and how close were you to taking the job then?
Look, things happen in the past. You never really know what's going on behind the scenes of football clubs. So I'm here now. I'm delighted to be here, and I'm looking forward to the future.
Yeah, we saw last night the good, the bad, and the ugly of Cork City FC.
Yeah, it was had a bit of everything. It was certainly a pulsating encounter. So we want to keep the good, and we'll do plenty of work on the other aspects and try and obviously pick up some points starting with Galway on Friday.
I suppose defensively is the main concern for Cork City, having kept a clean sheet this season. We saw again last night, especially with that third goal.
Yeah, well, look, the stats and what you've just said obviously speak volumes. So until we start keeping clean sheets and improving in that area, we're going to struggle. So we need to, everyone at the club, we need to work really hard to that. But that's my job. So that's what I'm here for. So that's on me.
You as a coach, what's your coaching philosophy?
I want us to win starting on Friday night. I want us to I want us to represent the people of Cork, and give them a team to be proud of, and play with a spirit and a belief that I think represents the area, and I want us to play front footed and have people come to the stadium and see entertaining games, but I very much want Turner's Cross especially to be a fortress as well.
Liam Carney in his press conference during the week was saying that Cork City haven't been out of any of the games, they've been there or thereabouts, just getting that consistency and getting those wins together.
Liam's been fantastic in what he's been doing behind the scenes for the academy for a long time, and he's been really impressive this week and last night when I saw them as well. So that's the key bit, the team. You saw it last night, very little between the teams, if anything, but fine margins often decides football, and we need to be better at those moments.
Liam's obviously going to be working as your assistant on an interim basis. Have you got people in mind for the job on a permanent basis?
Yeah, we're looking into that at the moment all the time and speaking to people, but as I said, it's been up until 36 hours ago I was at a different club, so it's been a bit of a whirlwind. There'll be a bit of time to sort that out, but at the moment Liam's fantastic in his own right, and I'm really lucky to have him by my side.
And of course for the wider coaching group as well, I'd imagine that they're all still in place and they'll be helping you a lot.
Yeah, it was, obviously I met a lot of people last night, and getting to know people and see how everybody works, and they'll see how I want to work and vice versa. So look, everything's very new at the moment, so we're just getting used to each other, getting acquainted to each other, and our focus really is just on the staff is focusing on Friday night and hopefully picking up a good result.
I saw in the Examiner that you went in at half time last night to talk to the lads. What prompted that?
Look, I think it's a unique situation really when you come into a club at any time, especially as head coach, manager. I just felt there was a couple of things I wanted to speak to the staff and players about. So I spoke to Liam just at the end of the first half, and then I just thought it was the right thing to do to introduce myself in maybe an unorthodox fashion, but it was the right thing to do, and I just felt there was a couple of things I needed to say.
The player's shocked to see you.
I guess so. But look, it's football, and the players in the dressing room will be used to change as a manager and change as staff. It happens a lot, unfortunately. So they adapted well.
What was the message to the players at half time? They came out and they looked improved in the second half.
It was mostly around us, and around belief, and around how we want to be, how we want to play. That was the main things. As I said, the staff, Liam and the two Gregs, prepared the team really well, and the detail was fantastic in what they were doing. It was more around belief and how I want to see the team play.
You look at the squad that's there at the moment, there are some exceptionally talented players. One of them is Carlos Sullivan. He won't be here working with you for long by the looks of things.
Carlos was fantastic. I don't know exactly what's going on behind the scenes. I've just arrived here, but Carlos was fantastic. I think anybody who paid into the game last night will have been more than happy to pay that money to watch someone like him play.
Yeah. And what are the conversations you've had with Jeremy Rusher? I mean, is there a budget there, I suppose, for players to come in the summer?
Yeah, again, I'm sorry, I'm sounding like a broken record.
That's all right.
But, I'm in the door. We're going to try and put out the best team we can for Cork City with what we have. And that's what we're going to be very focused on doing. There'll be a lot of hard work going on behind the scenes. But that's also, that work, it's often, you might put a lot of work into something and nothing happens. And it can take a lot of time. And it's an interesting, and it's always interesting, those sort of recruitment things. So it's ongoing behind the scenes. And we'll update as soon as we can with any news.
What role, I suppose, Gerard, do the fans have in this and getting the fans back at Turner's Cross and really kind of getting behind the team as, like, and getting back in support in the team?
I think they have a huge role. You know, I guess I've been fortunate to play at the Cross as a young man, sort of for Ireland underage teams and things like that. And I think it's well known. It's you know, a fantastic place to play. And I guess as well, you know, probably one of the big things that attracted me to this club is, you know, sport in the area, and I've worked with people from Cork before and how passionate they are. And I don't think there are better fans in the country than Cork City when it's going well, when Turner's Cross is rocking. So I really want them to come back. I really want them to support the team. I really want them to be you know, an extra man for us when we go and play Shells in 13 days' time. But look, they have to be given something to shout about, and that's my job, so that's what I'm here to do.
Don't want to mention the phrase relegation battle too often, but the stats don't lie. They're about second bottom of the table at the moment. But getting the fans in, galvanising, and all, that will all help. But I mean, like, it is a relegation battle for Cork City.
Yeah, we're in a fight to stay in the division and do as well as we can. That's what we're here to do. So when you're in a fight, you need everything to you need as much help as you can. You need everybody working in the same direction. So the more fans we can have at the games, the more support we can have, the better for the players. You know, we really want to give them something to shout about.
So, Gerard, if I talk to you at the end of the season, what will you have hoped to have achieved?
I hope to have achieved a Cork team that the fans are proud to have seen play, and we're looking forward to planning for obviously next season in the Premier Division. That's imperative.
Excellent, Gerard. Very best of luck with the job.
Thank you very much.
And that was Rory O'Hagan speaking with new Cork City boss Gerard Nash. Gerard, you have your work cut out for you, lad. We're now ninth in the table, only ahead of Sligo Rovers on goal difference. And there's a huge away game versus Galway United coming this Friday. That's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench. Dan Casey signing off. Marty Guilfoyle is on the way next.